Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful morning. Hasn't it been an amazing week? Just gorgeous. Well, here we go. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can just come together online, offline, just be around your word, be with other people, just stopping for a moment in our busy lives and actually just devoting it to you, your worship, your word, prayer, just resetting us, reminding us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, I'm feeling off center. I can't do this. I'm not really, you know, someone that has to have everything balanced, but sometimes I just need it. Okay, like my glasses. Well, we've been exploring together this month, just the courage to stand tall. You know, how do we kind of stand up and just have the courage to do that? Because it's not always easy. And we've learned from Paul that we need courage to change. You know, sometimes there's things that need to shift and change in our world. We need courage to do that. From Moses, we've discovered that we need courage not to give in, that sometimes you just got to keep going, that if we stop too early, then we miss out. And we're going to hear from Daniel today and discover that we need courage to live in the different, that there's different all around us. Sometimes we have to be different. Sometimes we have to live within the different. And it takes courage to do that. And I'm going to pull out four things from Daniel that can just really encourage us and help us to see how we can do that. So who was Daniel? He was in the Old Testament. He's a prophet. And, you know, if we dig around a little bit and add a few bits of different books together, Kings, Chronicles, Jeremiah, all those things, and Daniel, the book of Daniel, if we put that all together, we can kind of assume that he was born in Judah. And we can work out that it's roughly towards the end of a guy called King Josiah, his reign. And in the books of Kings and Chronicles, we learn about all sorts of kings. There's good kings, then there's bad kings, and they're mostly bad. But King Josiah, he was a good king. It says it was recorded him as being a godly king. And the time when he was on the throne, Judah was blessed. And this is a time when those kingdoms are divided. You know, the kingdom of Israel is kind of divided into north and south. And so when we kind of delve into all the kings, it gets a little confusing about who's where and what throne they're sitting on. But Josiah's sitting on the throne in Judah, in Jerusalem, and the land was blessed under him. So Daniel was probably growing up in this time of amazing blessing. And what it was a time of a really renewed worship of the Lord. Because you see, under all those bad kings that went before Josiah, the book of the Lord, it had been lost. I don't quite know how that was possible, but it was. It was lost and the temple was in ruin and just disrepair. And Josiah rediscovered this. He discovered this amazing law of how to live and how to do life. And he started, you know, he read that out to the people. He gathered them all and he read that out and they started just changing the way they did life again in Judah. and they renewed the covenant they had with God. And they tore down the idols that had been creeping up, and they repented of bad ways that had been going on. And so this is like an amazing time to be growing up, to be born and to be growing up in your nation. But then Josiah's reign ends, and then one son and then another called King Jehoiakim takes his place, and things turn sour. We get back into the bad kings. Jeremiah records that King Jehoiakim ruled badly with selfishness and greed. How does that happen? After your dad has just kind of just opened up, you know, this amazing amount of blessing and shifted and changed things, you grow up and you rule badly with selfishness and greed. That's not a great legacy. But that's the era that Daniel was then becoming a man. And so he switched from this beautiful blessing in the cross of the nation to things going sour. And then this happens in 2 Chronicles 36. It says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and captured it. And he bound Jehoiakim in bronze chains and led him away to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also took some of the treasures from the temple of the Lord and he placed them in his palace in Babylon." It had been a long time coming. There'd been lots of warnings over the time through all the good kings and the bad kings. There was a constant voice, and, you know, Jeremiah's often in there just going, "Guys, get your act together." But they didn't. And eventually, as prophesied, King Nebuchadnezzar came in from Babylon and took away the king, ransacked the temple. Didn't just take the king, he took a whole lot of other people of the royal family as well, and the noble families. And Daniel was one of those. Daniel was taken to Babylon. You know, it takes courage to embrace a place you don't want to be. Daniel would have been taken against his will. He was taken in a time of conflict, upheaval. And we discover in Daniel that he actually chose to embrace his different. He chose to embrace Babylon. It wasn't his nation. It wasn't his home. It wasn't anything like he wanted. But he chose to embrace it. And it takes courage to do that. You know, things often are out of our control. There's new schools, new jobs. You know, there's all sorts of situations that happen over us that we don't have a choice in. There's nothing we can do about them. And it takes courage to live in that space. It takes courage to live in what's different. It takes a trust in God that actually he has a plan and a purpose in any situation. Things don't have to look perfect. Things don't have to be, you know, the perfect Israel for us to live in that space. God is creative. He's inventive. But we have to go along with the ride. We have to kind of work with him and understand, what's he doing in this place for us? How do we jump on his agenda and live in this space? It takes from us no demands. It takes from us trust. And so we can see from Daniel that our first lesson, encouraged to live in this different, is to embrace the place that you have to be in. Embrace it. Not just put up with it, actually embrace it. And that's what Daniel did. Let's have a look how he did that. Daniel 1 says, "Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives." So that's Daniel's one of those. "Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They would be trained for 3 years and then they would enter the royal service. Wow. You know, that's not just living in the different. That's actually having to definitely embrace it. He had no choice but to embrace it. He was one of those young men. He was probably of noble or royal birth. And he had no choice but to learn a new language. He had no choice but to learn new customs, a new literature. You know, just things that Daniel probably did not like. Things that went against his whole worldview. Everything he knew, everything he loved. He didn't agree with it, probably, most likely, because it was so foreign. But he learnt it, and he learnt it well. He didn't just kind of get pass marks. He got the high distinctions. He went for it. He learnt everything. He read everything. But how? How can you do that? How can you, you know, have a worldview and have a belief system and things that you love and it is the complete makeup of who you are? How do you hold on to that and have to learn different things? And we have to do this often. You know, at school, guys, there's books you have to read that you probably don't want to read. So how do you do that? How do you read those things? How do you listen to those things? And how do you live in that well? Well, you see, Daniel knew who he was. He knew he was one of God's children. He was an Israelite. He had sewn into him the very, you know, fabric of who he was during that good reign of King Josiah. He had sown into him a love for God. He had sown into him a love for his law, for his Bible, you know, the law of Moses. He had deep in him a love of prayer and worship that got reignited when they restored the temple and discovered, wow, God is the God we worship. And so all these new thoughts and ideas that were trying to infiltrate his head, trying to make him a Babylonian, they didn't rock Daniel because he was solid in who he was. He knew exactly where he belonged. It takes courage to live in the different. And as followers of Jesus, you know, we are also actually of noble birth. We're part of the royal family now. We've been taken away to earth. No, I don't know how that works. But, you know, we are living in a land that's not really ours anymore. It's not really ours. We've got another place in another kingdom. And we also might have to have ideas, learn ideas, thoughts, culture that we don't agree with. So we need to know who we are. We need to know who we belong to. And we need to sow into our lives a love for God. Like, sow that in, a love for his word, a love for prayer and worship. We need to sow those things so they keep us anchored, you know, solid, pinned down, so that in this confusing and conflicting world that we don't necessarily like or want or agree with, that we're not rocked in that. And we can be surrounded by difficult things and not actually get sucked into it and succumb to it. And we can also lead a way for our kids to navigate that. We can show them how to enjoy our world, but not completely get, you know, taken over by it. To embrace it, to enjoy it, but also live in it well so that it doesn't control them. Our second lesson for living in the different is know who you are. Know who you are. Now, because Daniel knew who he was, he also knew where to draw the line. It says in Daniel 1 again, all of this is in Daniel 1. Amazing. Daniel's a cool book. There's heaps in it. Everything today is in Daniel 1. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. He said, please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water. Daniel said, and at the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. So these young men are being taught about being Babylonian, getting ready to serve in the royal court, and they want them to keep looking good. You know, they're not the ones hauling rocks, they're the ones who have to look good. And so they want to feed them up well. But the problem for Daniel is that there's only so far one can go in adapting to a new culture and to living in the difference. He was happy to learn their culture and their literature, but he was not going to eat meat that had been sacrificed to an idol, because he knew who he was. Because worship of God alone was sewn into his very fabric, he came to a line that he couldn't cross. Meat sacrificed to idols was too far, because God alone is the one you worship. And it takes courage to live in the different when we need to stick to our convictions. It takes courage to speak up and say, excuse me, I just got a problem there. But Daniel worked a way to do that. He worked a way around quite calmly. He continued to respect authority and he worked out a solution. He didn't impose his conviction on others. He didn't just say, or to all the guys, you know, that had come with him, he said, okay, guys, we can't do this. You know, we just have to draw a line here. He had his convictions. He knew who he was. He drew that line for himself and didn't impose it on anyone else. Now, some of them joined him, a few of his friends. They were probably friends like ones that Moses had last week, you know, the ones that held up Moses' hands. They were the friends that watched Daniel and they said, yeah, that's who we are. We don't do that. And so they joined him and they chose a different way. They stood by their convictions to only worship the Lord their God. Now today our walk with Jesus is not quite as clear cut as Daniel had in the Old Testament. You see, because the kingdom of God is, you know, it's being lived out in multiple cultures, in different sorts of people all around our world, and it actually looks different in different places. And, you know, for Daniel, it was this set of laws in a book and it was down the line. But for us, it all gets a little bit, I don't know, how does that work here and there? Because Jesus kind of fulfilled all the obligation of the law, all the rules of the law, and he showed a way of now living with the spirit of the law. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus now deal with us as individuals, not as a nation. We're no longer the nation of Israel. We are children of God and we are answerable to God alone in our own life. And even in the New Testament, we see Paul discover that it just starts getting confusing when you start dealing with Gentiles. That's what we are. Because he discovered that thing with meat, that the goals have shifted. in 1 Corinthians 8, it says, "Now, regarding your question about food that's been offered to idols, yes, we all know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much." So what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? And he goes on to discuss about that. And summarising his answer, the answer, it depends. The goals have shifted. It's not clear cut anymore. The overriding factor now is love for others. And so in the middle of all that, our third lesson for living in the different is that we need to stick to your convictions. Stick to what God's teaching you. Stick to where you're up to in your faith, not where someone else is up to. They're on a different path. You know, Jesus is on a different journey with them. He's taught them this, and they're not ready for that yet. But where's Jesus taking you? You know, what's he challenging you with? What are your convictions? Living in the different, it takes courage to stick to your convictions. It also, that need to just actually stick to them. That there is always going to be a line that you can't cross. That it rubs against the way Jesus does life. And it takes courage to go there. Okay, so through all these things, you know, we've got these three different things so far that I've forgotten already. Can anyone else remember them? Know who you are. No, embrace the place where you are. Know who you are and stick to your convictions. With all those things that Daniel had going on, he gained respect. You know, he developed a respect. People looked at him. They watched him. They noticed him. And in 1 Daniel 17, said God gave these four young men, so Daniel and his three friends, an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. That helped him later on. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service, and whenever the king consulted them in any matter regarding wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. That's impressive. Four young men from Judah, four young men who kind of got landed in a new culture, a new place, was nothing like theirs, have risen up and are like no other in the nation. They've embraced where they are, they know who they are, and they've stuck to their convictions, and they have risen up. And Daniel's patience and dedication, it gave him a voice. It was a voice to speak up for his people later on. It was a voice that blessed the place he found himself. Like, he wasn't just now embracing it and living in this place. He actually was now a blessing to it. It was a voice that was not loud, was not rude, and it wasn't demanding. But it was a voice that had incredible influence. But it takes courage when you're living in the different. To take the authority given to you and to use it well. It took time for Daniel to get to this place, but now he had an authority and he had to use it well. You know, if we want a voice, and often we do feel like we want a voice, we look around and we're just like, screaming inside. It takes time. It takes time to do life well. Sometimes we might feel like we're squashed in our freedoms. We might feel like, you know, this is not where I belong, this is not where I want to be. But if we kind of take on those little hints from Daniel, if we embrace that this is where we are at the moment, and if we really know who we are, and if we stick to our convictions in the middle of that space, I also believe that we will be given authority to have a voice. That fourth thing, that when we're living in the different, we can take the authority that's given. And when we can take that authority given, we can truly have courage to stand tall, to rise up, to put our shoulders back, and to then be a blessing to other people. That's our whole point. That's why God gave Daniel that voice. It was so that he could be a blessing, that he could help his people, God's people, and that he could be a blessing where he lived. It wasn't for Daniel. It wasn't to give him this kind of, you know, glory status. It was actually then to give out to other people. And so the whole thing of why we need courage to stand tall, why we need courage to live in the different, it's so that we can be a blessing to other people and we can pour out God's ways and God's love and just all over the people around us. If the musos want to come up, feel free. You know, different is not always bad. Sometimes it feels bad, but it's not always bad. But it takes courage to live in that space well. The way we do that is with the life of Jesus inside of us. It's not our strength. We can't do this on our own. We can't, you know, tick all these boxes and live this life in our own ways, in our own strength. It's with Jesus inside of us, teaching us and guiding us, you know, pulling these things out of us that he's put in. And, you know, at the moment, you might find yourself in a different space, a place where you don't want to be, or about to go to a place you don't want to go. And you might have all these little conflicting things going on about what that means for you. Struggling to adjust and just work it out. I just really encourage you to take hold of these ideas from Daniel. To have a read through on Daniel. Have a look at who he is. Have a look what's going on for him. And just see how you can do that in your world. What is it that you need to embrace in your different? What is it that you need to go, okay, radio, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to do what has to happen, even though I don't like it. I'm going to do it because that doesn't make a difference to my salvation. You know, Daniel knew who he was, so he could live in Babylon. He didn't have to live in Israel to know he was an Israelite, to know he was a child of God. He could live anywhere. And that's the same for us. You know, there's things that are separate to our salvation that don't impact our, you know, our status as a child of God, that we can just put up with. Our status as a child of God comes under Jesus only. It comes under him dying on the cross for us and rising again. And us accepting that and saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for taking away all the stuff separates me from God and making me child of God. That's who we are. That's where we find out who we are. That's the beginning point. And when we have that, then all the other stuff is peripheral. It's actually irrelevant. It doesn't matter. That's where we start. But as we discover, you know, as we branch out in this new life as a child of God, we discover that there are some things that rub in the way that we live that life. And so there'll be things that might come across our path that we see that we go, oh, hang on, no, that's not good. That's not healthy for me. That's not giving me life. That's not encouraging me. That's really just drawing me into a place I don't like. You know, that's where we stop. We go, no, I can't go there. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to do that. Because something new is rising up in us. It's a love of God. It's a worship of Him. It's a desire to do things that bring Him joy. When He looks at us and goes, yeah, go for it. That bring joy in Him as He looks at us. Not that He just keeps going, oh, let's go back to square one. No, let's just look out for those things. Stick to our convictions. And find that stuff that brings life. So for you today, you know, what is it in your world that you need to just go, oh, maybe I need to embrace that. Maybe I need to remember who I am. Maybe I need to stick to that conviction, not shift it. Or maybe I need to stand up with this voice and gently, beautifully bring blessing to others. But if you find that you don't have the ability to do any of that right now, you might just need to just connect with Jesus first. That's our first step, is just connecting to Him. Just asking Him into our life so that His life can flow through. And it's just done with a simple prayer. Just asking God to come into our life, to say we want to follow Jesus, to be sorry for what we've done, and to live this day forward different. And that can be your different. Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, that nothing surprises you. Nothing's out of your box. You can take hold of any situation we find ourselves in, Lord God. You can enable us to embrace that. The different doesn't faze you. But Lord God, I just thank you that right now, that if there's people that want to step into a different this morning, that they are sick of the way things have been going, they're sick of the way their life has been going, and that they want to step into your different, Lord God, I just thank you for that. And Jesus, we just lift those people up to you this morning, whether they're in the room here or online, Lord God. Father, just pray into them. We just thank you as they just lift up their voice and say, I want to follow you, Jesus. As they just are sorry for the way their life has been going and they just want to turn it around. Lord God, flow into them. Your Holy Spirit, Jesus, flow into them and enable them to take that first step. Embrace their different, a life in Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.